Morning, everybody, and thank you for being here. I'd like, actually, if you could just come a little bit closer. So if you would like, whilst I just get the Bible reading together, just to move forward either one or two rows from your current position, then it'll make me feel a whole lot more comfortable. Okay, that's much better. Thank you for doing that. Okay, now this morning I've looking at the subject of transformation, which is a huge subject to look at. But hopefully, in the hour and three quarters we've got, we should begin to scratch the surface of it. We're going to read from Psalm 119 just to start with, in verse 97. As I'm sure you know, Psalm 119 is split into 22 stanzas of 8 verses each. Each set of stanzas starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each of those verses also goes in sequence in using the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So Psalm 119, verse 97 says this: "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path." Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we want to give you thanks for your word. We thank you for what it teaches us about you. But we thank you too for what it teaches us about ourselves. And we realise, Lord, that as we look into your word, it's as if we're looking into a mirror that looks right into our lives. And we pray that as we have this short time this morning, we will just allow you to speak to us and teach us, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, around about 6 weeks ago, the company I work for, we went on an annual day. The leaders of the business, about 50 of us, we went to Frimley in Surrey, and we had a couple of days leadership conference. And right at the start, what we had to prepare was four things about ourselves. We had to share what our favourite movie was, our favourite book, the closest we've ever been to fame, and who we'd like to be. Now, at the end of today's talk, I'm going to share with you who I would like to be. But you need to keep awake for that. The other thing I'll say to you is that this morning we've got 5 slides, but the most important slide is the last one. So please, please keep with me till the end, all right? Maybe let your minds wander a little bit through sort of slides 2 and 3, but make sure you're bang on point when we get to slide 5, because that's the important one. Today, I've also got a few confessions for you. Confession is good for the soul, so that's what I'm going to be doing. And Martin, first of all, if we can have the first slide up, that would be really good. Thank you. Every week, I get an email from our headquarters in Hyderabad, and it's an email headed Learning Bites. And they are little bits of learning for everybody in the organisation to learn something about, either about themselves in their workplace or about better management or so on. And a few weeks ago, the Learning Bite was mindfulness, which I was quite interested in. I read the article, and at the end of the article, it was really talking about the need for meditation. Meditation. Now, meditation has become a bit of a dirty word in Christian circles because we tend to associate it with sort of New Age people, with people that practice yoga, and so on and so forth. But meditation is a really key thing within Scripture, and we've just thought about it in the psalm that we've read. And right back in the Old Testament, in Joshua 1 and verse 9, God says to Joshua, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mind. Meditate on it day and night. Allow it to speak into your heart and into your mind and into your soul to actually change you, to change what you're like." And the first point really I want to make today is about transformation. I'm not going to spend a long time on this because Jeremy Bedrock tonight is talking, I believe, Pete, about transformation. So he'll deal with this, I'm sure, much more eloquently than I would. But the verse that is quoted on the slide is one of my favourites in Scripture, Romans 12 and verse 2. To be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's how we become transformed as an individual, by the transforming of what goes on in our mind, in our head. Last week, I had the pleasure of attending Sally's daughter's wedding, Mary Louise, and it was lovely. And Matt Hebditch spoke on Philippians 4, verse 9, which talks about everything that is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. In fact, anything that is excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things. It's about our mind, about what goes on in our mind. Now, this learning bite about mindfulness, which talked about meditation, talked about it from the perspective of how important it is to have our minds clear. About 70% of the stress of illness in work is caused by stress caused by people's minds getting out of kilter. And in a sense, mindfulness or meditation or allowing ourselves to think about the good things, to think about God, to think about his things, are good, what I might term, brain hygiene. A little bit like brushing our teeth, but for the brain. And if we think of it in that way, then maybe each of us every day should spend that bit of time thinking on the good things of God, thinking on the Scripture, allowing God to speak into our hearts, because that is how our lives become transformed. And Paul, in writing to the Romans in this verse in Romans chapter 12, is saying to us, we can become like the world. We can become conformed to the world's standards, to the way the world works, the way it thinks. But as Christians, we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by thinking on the good things of God. There's a lovely hymn, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, forgive us our foolish ways." And it goes on to say this. It says, "Reclothe us in our rightful mind." So that's a little bit of a preamble just to think about this subject of transformation. And hopefully tonight Jeremy's going to do a fantastic job of sharing about that in a lot more detail. Martin, could we have the next slide, if that's all right? Thank you. Now, we're going to be thinking this morning about the fact of transformation in our world. As I said, it's a rather a big subject, and I wanted to think of it from the perspective of bottom-up transformation or top-down transformation. Back in 2015... the General Assembly of the United Nations set out 17 goals and 169 targets to transform this world into a better place. And they're up there on the screen. I'm not sure how clear they are. Probably not very clear at all, actually. But they headed them in such a way that they made them into five specific sections. People, the planet, prosperity, peace, and partnership. And all of those sustainable development goals, you can look at them online, are brilliant. They're things that we would look at and say, you know, they're really good. You know, reducing poverty, giving fairness to people, looking after the planet, looking after what goes under the, what is lives under the sea, what lives on the land, creating, as I said, fairness and so on and so forth. Really fantastic goals that we would, I'm sure, be fully 100% behind and say, yeah, that is brilliant. That is what the United Nations are planning to do. They started in 2015, and these sustainable development goals, they aim to have them concluded by 2030. So we can look forward in the next 12 or 13 years to the world becoming a much better place, which is great. It's good. Top down. That is the intention of the nations of the world, the United Nations. And if you read through some of what they say, it is utterly brilliant. Now, in the bottom corner is a guy, the fellow with the sort of big beard and the hair sort of third from the left. And he's a man absolutely called Mike Love. And Sally and I went to see him play some music just last week. And he has a real passion about the world and about the planet and about people. And I have to say, I've never seen or heard such utterly incredible music. The guy was mesmerizing. The things that he played and how he played them were just phenomenal. It moved me so much, and his passion moved me. He sang a song, he sang a lot of songs, but the song that really, really touched me was a song called Step Lightly. And it was talking about the care of the planet. Step Lightly. Because you'll bruise the earth. And whilst I didn't quite agree with his passion towards how he'd called it Mama Earth, what I could see in it was a real desire to see change, to see some of these things that the United Nations are aiming for. You see, he was trying to change people's views by the power and the strength of his music. And as I said, it was utterly mesmerizing. I was transfixed by him, not just because of the beard and the massive long dreadlocks that he had, although they probably helped, but just by the intensity of his belief, the intensity of his passion, what he wanted to see changed. Now, my first confession is this. I actually quite like the music of the 80s group Tears for Fears. Now, that may come as a shock to some of you, but one of their greatest songs was Everybody Wants to Rule the World. But I wanted to change the lyrics slightly because as I've been thinking about it, what I see is that actually everybody wants to change the world. From top to bottom, because we've got the United Nations wanting to change the world. They want to transform the world. And people like this guy, Mike Love, he wants to see change in the world. He wants it to be transformed. See, everybody wants to change the world. Martin, can we go on to the second slide, please? Now, my next confession is this, and I hesitate to share it with you, but I will. I really don't like the Evangelical Alliance. And I find that their magazine idea really doesn't scratch where I'm itching. And I'm a member of the EA, and therefore I get a free magazine every quarter. And I read it, and I get frustrated because it doesn't touch what I think it should be touching. It seems to me that the Evangelical Alliance has become a bunch of Christians talking to another bunch of Christians, not actually doing anything evangelical. And so I've got a little bit sort of frustrated, and you can probably tell, a little bit passionate and upset about it. Anyway, it seems that the Evangelical Alliance have been listening to my silent rants. And in their July and August publication, have sort of come round to my way of thinking, which, of course, is always positive, you know, like people to agree with myself. And as I said, everybody wants to change the world, including, it seems, the EA. That's good, isn't it? Now, just to prove, that's the sort of cover from the latest EA magazine. But the EA do want to change the world. And I've just cut out a couple of adverts from them just to prove this point. Are you passionate about working in unity for the social, cultural and spiritual transformation of your town and city? I'm sure the answer to that, I'm waiting for the yes, actually, but it's in there, isn't it? Join the movement. Movement Day, 6th and 7th of October in London. Now, unfortunately, I think I'm running the Royal Parks Half Marathon in London on the 7th of October, so I won't be part of Movement Day, but I will be thinking about it. Change the world. A free 4-week small group course for your church, Matt. Developed by the Evangelical Alliance. It's not quite free, because you do need to make a donation towards postage and packaging. But other than that, it's free. Instead of waiting for the world to change, why don't you go ahead and change it? And there's a website there, thepublicleader.com/change the world. The third thing that I noticed in this magazine, National Prayer Weekend. Now, unfortunately, I'd very much like to have been a part of that, but it clashes with the men's weekend away. But notwithstanding that, so 29th of September to the 1st of October 2017. Prayer changes lives. I think we'd all agree with that. Your street, your community, your prayers. We believe that local people praying for their community and neighbours can change lives. Prayer matters, and prayer changes everything, because as God changes us in prayer, he drives us out to be justice seekers, peacemakers, healers, and bringers of good news. Don't believe me, believe the Archbishop of Canterbury, because that's what he said. Everybody wants to change the world, from the top down to the bottom up. And the bottom up part of that slide is just a portion from the website of the company that I work for. Because Scient, an Indian-based company, we give 2% of our profits towards our corporate social responsibility fund, working with the poor in India to bring education, sanitation, digital literacy and also to work amongst disaster, you know, relief and so on. And we like to couch that in the sort of corporate terms of our business, which is designing tomorrow together. So as a business, we're giving money and particularly working with education amongst girls in India. You see, everybody wants to change the world. Every public company works in corporate social responsibility. All businesses put lots of money into changing the world, into transforming the world, into making it a better place for us to live. Everybody wants to change the world. Now, as we probably know, on Tuesday, it's the 70th anniversary of India being granted its independence from Great Britain. And as a consequence of that, the founder of the company I work for, Scient, Mr. BVR Mohan Reddy, who is a really lovely man. I've no idea what the BVR stands for, other than it was a very long Indian name. He shared a few thoughts with the leadership of the business about how he saw India now versus 70 years ago. He is about 70, actually, so it's during his lifetime. And it was a fascinating read. And when it got to the end, he just mentioned a couple of things which really struck home with me in the context of us thinking of world transformation. And it was this. He said that India today has got more dollar billionaires than any country in Asia apart from China. More dollar, not millionaires, dollar billionaires than any country in Asia other than China. But there are over 400 million people in India living on less than $2 a day. And he said the reason for that is that the fruits, and I'm just quoting him, the fruits of economic growth have not been shared through the whole population, especially those in rural areas. The fruits of economic growth have not been shared. Now, I mention that because we've been thinking about the fact that everybody wants to change the world. From the United Nations through to Mike Love, through to the EA, through to my company, the companies across the world, through to us as individuals, I think we want to change the world. And yet, there is a problem. There is a problem. And the problem is the problem of people. And I was so glad, because we'll come on to the next slide in a moment, I was so glad with Pete's talk at communion, because it just sums up the problem, doesn't it? You know, at the beginning of Romans, it talks about the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You see, it's prerequisite to bring change that people need to be changed. People need to be different. They need to not be greedy. They need to be willing to share. They need to be able to show love, show mercy, to do the things that the United Nations desire. People, individuals, groups of people, communities need to be different, to show a different attitude. In the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, what does it say that the people of God should be like? That they should, walk justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before their God. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly before their God. That requires a change. Martin, are you ready for the next slide, if that's all right? You see, transformation comes from God. And God's transformation, again, was a top-down but also a bottom-up change because God saw the problem that we have as sinners. And the confession that I have on this slide is that I'm a sinner. Looking around, I suspect I might not be alone in that. And as we've already thought about, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, noted that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God saw that. And right from the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve went against his will in the garden, God has been looking for us. Where are you, Adam? He's been searching. And his answer to that required an agent of change, an agent of transformation. And that, of course, was Jesus Christ, the light of the world. I'm not going to speak too much on that because we've heard enough from what Pete said at communion. But just to say that actually this morning, in order to bring change into the world, individuals need to be changed. And if this morning, if you don't know about that change, if you don't know about that transformation that God can make in your life through Christ, then please see somebody afterwards, speak to somebody about it, because we'd love to talk to you about the change that Jesus can make. It says in the Bible, in Romans actually, that the wages of sin are death, but it's the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is good news. That is real transformation, transforming our destiny into one of eternal life with Christ. Okay, now the confessions are going to come thick and fast as we come to the last slide, which, just hold it, Martin, for 1 second. This is the fifth slide, so this is the one that I hope is important, and actually is where I feel that God has just been sort of challenging me a little bit. So I said that I would say who I wanted to be. And I actually put two people, but the one person I put that I was going to share with you today is I'd put Chris Martin. Chris Martin is the lead singer of Coldplay. Everybody's looking blankly. Hopefully, yeah, there is a bit of knowledge of who he is. Of course, a lot of my colleagues had put, well, I don't want to be anybody else but myself. I'm very happy with myself. And I felt a bit of a Charlie, to be honest. But anyway, I put Chris Martin. I'd put it out there. And anyway, why would I want to be Chris Martin? Interesting sort of person, I suppose. And it's about influence. It's about influence. Now, another confession I've got. We are sat in this room in front of 8 of the most influential people that this world has ever known. And they're up there on that wall. There they are. Now, another confession I've got is I'm actually not sure of who they all are. I've got 6 of them, for sure, but there's 2 that I'm struggling with. Martin, let's have the next slide, if you don't mind. So, top-down or bottom-up influence in the world, because hopefully we've established that everybody wants to change the world, yeah? And I think that part of the message of Christianity is to bring change in the world. Am I right? I think I probably am. Jesus gave us a commission. I was thinking about it this morning. I was thinking, and in some ways, in football parlance, it was a bit of a hospital pass. Because Jesus said that we're to go and make disciples. Matthew 28. Whichever way you cut that verse up or look at it or try to rationalise it, it still comes down to being really, really tough. A really tough thing to do, to make disciples, to go out and share the good news of God with those around us, to bring change to those around us, to bring change to people's lives. It is not an easy thing to do. Unless we have influence. So this comes back to my point about why did I want to be Chris Martin? Because we need influence. Our church needs influence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about the difficulty of sharing the good news. He talks about the gospel being veiled. And he then goes on to say that the God of this age, in some translations it says Satan, the God of this age, has blinded their mind to the light of the gospel. You see, people are struggling to understand the good news because Paul recognises that there is a spiritual dimension to what is going on in individuals' lives. There is a spiritual dimension to what is going on in individual people's lives. And we need somehow to be able to influence those people day to day. But more than that, Paul also talks about, and this is in Ephesians chapter 6, he makes a very good point of recognising that actually we have a battle that is not as obvious as we may think it is. Because he talks about the fact that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Now, my thinking on this has been challenged. Because I'm concerned that as church, and we're sat there in the corner, Welton Baptist Church, but also the church, certainly in the West, is, can I say, tolerated by the powers that be. And that we don't actually have very much influence at all in the world. You can disagree with this, it's absolutely fine. Just my thoughts. And it's interesting to think about that and to consider how much real impact do we have. The Evangelical Alliance asks us, do we want to change the world? Well, yes, we do. But can we? I wonder. How much influence do we really have? It's fascinating, isn't it, in our society to see that Theresa May would get a lot less tweets than Ariana Grande if they were to say anything. You see, we live in a world where the most influential people are those people with the most inane things to say. And that is not an accident. That is about, I believe, these dark forces. Now, Paul was writing from a position of real knowledge on this. Because often we think, and I'm a subscriber to this wholly, that we make a difference by influencing one by one the people that we come into contact with. It's a bottom-up sort of theology, if you like. But as I've been thinking, I've been wondering, do you know what? Are we really focusing enough on the top-down part of that? Of actually changing the bigger picture within our nation, of changing the culture, of transforming the world, because that's what we're called to do. And we've seen it, haven't we, in a sense that, you know, poor Tim Farron, the leader, the ex-leader of the Lib Dems, put his head above the parapet and had it blown off. Now, Paul, in the Bible, he knew exactly what it was to influence people. You see, because when he got into trouble for preaching the gospel, his response to that was, well, I want to go to Rome. I want to see the head honcho. I want to go to the place where the decisions are being made. And we read at the back end of Acts some fantastic testimony that he makes, not just to the man in the street, but to Festus, the local governor, to King Agrippa and his wife, Bernice. You see, Paul wanted to bring influence, the good influence of God, to the top people. So as we think about this, I just want us to be left, I guess, with something to talk about over lunch, because it's been on my mind, and therefore I thought I'd share it with you. What influence do we have as the church? Are we praying, as Paul again asks us to, for our leaders, for our nations, for those in positions of authority? Are we praying for Christian leaders to be grown up into those positions of leadership within our industries, within our political system, within our public services, in order that Christ, through those people, can have a real influence? And lastly, are we praying seriously about this spiritual battle that we're in? Because it is a serious question. And it's made me think these last few days that on an individual level, people have their eyes blinded, their minds blinded to the light of the gospel of Christ, just as Paul says. And I think we know that. We know that, don't we? When we speak to people, we know that if it gets onto something vaguely spiritual, quite often they will turn off. Or they will distract us, or they will change the subject, or they'll just short-circuit it, sidestep it. But on a bigger picture, in terms of the influence within this country, within Europe, within our world, within our community even, within our town council, are we seeing the truth of what Paul says about this bigger picture? This battle not being against flesh and blood, not what we see, but what we don't see. So I pray that we will see the world transformed. Everybody wants to see the world a different place. Everybody wants to see the world changed. And we do. We want to see spiritual transformation. If we're Christians, we want to see that. We want to see people's lives changed for good, see them changed to be followers of Christ. But to do that, we have a battle on our hands. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for the transforming power of it, the fact that it can change us. And we pray that you would help us to be agents of change within our sphere of influence. But we pray bigger than that, Lord. We pray that you would help us to look at the bigger picture, the picture maybe that you see of the places in which we live. Give us spiritual eyes, spiritual understanding, and a vision that goes beyond just the flesh and the blood to see the spiritual battle that is occurring all around us. Thank you, Lord, that you've transformed us, that we are, if we follow you, new creations, that our lives are changed. And we pray that you would help us through our lives to be transformers of other people too. Because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.